I think we have Vanessa Bealey on the line. Are you there, Vanessa?
I am. Good evening. Good afternoon.
It's very good evening for you. I'm sorry to keep you up late, but we're most anxious to talk to you. I've been reading your articles, particularly at 21st Century Wire, and I have to say, Mark Twain a long time ago said that a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth gets its boots on. I think he would have made an exception in your case. You've had two remarkable pieces where you interrupted somebody who was lying big time. And the first one I noticed and I want you to talk about is, and it is also can be found at 21st Century Wire, where you receive an actual statement from the Syrian civil defense people, the real ones, and they were very grateful to you because there'd been a little, and I want you to explain what you think might have happened, but there is an organization, the International Civil Defense Organization, to which the Syrian group belongs, but a day or two before the Nobel Prize business involving the White Helmets, at that site, they had put a link to them. Could you tell us that story and what you did about it?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a very, very strange occurrence. And as you say, it happened 2 days before the announcement of the Nobel Peace Prize. And as you probably also know, the level of promotion of the White Helmets, which is the very much the US-UK construct, based inside Syria but trained in Turkey and funded, multi-million funded, by the US, the UK, and EU governments, and Japan. So basically, sort of 2 days leading up to the announcement of the Nobel Peace Prize, and of course we were, fighting, if you like, to counter the promotional propaganda on behalf of the White Helmet. Somebody, Fort Ross, actually, contacted me, and they said, by the way, are you aware that the ICDO, which is the International Civil Defense Organization, of which the real Syria Civil Defense was a founder member in 1972, they've basically been a paid-up member since then. It's affiliated with the UN. It's affiliated with WHO, OCHA, Red Cross, Red Crescent. Mm-hmm. So it's the recognized body for civil defense organizations globally, with various state members. I mean, it's the recognized body for civil defense. And Fort Ross contacted me, and they said, by the way, are you aware that the link to the Syrian Arab Republic on the ICDO website is now linking to the White Helmets? Now, 1 week prior, I know that it wasn't doing that because I'd written an article on it, and I checked a couple of things, and I'd gone on to click on the website, and it was still linking in to the real Syria Civil Defense website in Syria. So this obviously set off alarm bells. This was 2 days before the Nobel Peace Prize announcement. Yes. So the next morning, I called the ICDO directly myself, and I spoke to a very nice gentleman there. And at the minute that I started to ask him, he started laughing, and he said, like, why is everyone so interested in our website all of a sudden? And apparently he'd received, because we put the news out very quickly, and he said that he was basically inundated with phone calls and emails asking, like, what is going on? This is not the real Syria Civil Defense. Why are you linking to the White Helmets? Anyway, he basically said to us, look, I'm so sorry. It was a really bad mistake. It's an administrative error. And he then proceeded. I've obviously published the transcript, but he continued then, and he said, look, we only work with official governments. This was very clear in his statement. And he said, we only work with official civil defense organizations. And I asked him to reiterate this once or twice. And he, ultimately, the final statement that he made is that the real Syria Civil Defense is the only recognized Syria Civil Defense by the ICDO and by the UN, and that the White Helmets, he even made the statement, he said, we do not recognize the White Helmets. He also told somebody else that they have never trained the White Helmets, and that the White Helmets was never asked to join the ICDO.
Mm.
Added to this, he basically said they're not even, it was an odd way that he put it, but he said they are not concretely civil defense. In other words, they don't fulfill the criteria of a civil defense organization, despite the fact that the US, the UK, Western media will have us to believe that they are exclusively the Syria civil defense working inside Syria.
They're imposters, rather like someone wearing an army uniform when he's not in the army.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, I think what this demonstrated very clearly, and it's what I've been saying all along, mm-hmm. is that the White Helmets is part of the process, the shadow state building, which is actually, I believe, being very much engineered more by the UK than by the US. Obviously, the US is supporting it, but it seems to be more of a British intelligence construct, and then it's receiving a huge amount of American funding through USAID, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But we are also seeing the UK government funding other shadow state organizations, like, for instance, the Free Syria Police. We know that they've put in at least $5 million into that. We know that they're working with the Syria Forum, which is actually also funded by the Canadian government as well as the Qatari government, which, again, is producing local administrative councils to replace
humanitarian work in Ottawa.
Of course, yes, of course. Carry on.
I just wanted to make sure I tell everybody, this is Vanessa Beely, 21st Century Aware. Please go and read all these articles and get yourself up to date on it. I want to just throw in there a question about they don't have, you've laid it out, they're basically an imposter. And some respect ought to be shown for the actual international civil defense organization. Really? I assume it has a criteria. If you say, well, I'd like to be a member, they would ask you certain questions. And I know one of them would be, do you provide an emergency number that someone could call you? The White Helmets don't have one, do they?
No, of course they don't. The real Syria civil defense, you call 113 inside Syria, like any, any nation emergency numbers. It's a standard emergency number, and any civilian.
So they choose which number, which phone call to answer. They choose where they want to go.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
They wouldn't be admitted to the International Civil Defense Organization.
Absolutely not. And in fact, that's a very good point, because I was actually talking with the real Syria Civil Defense shortly before the Nobel Peace Prize announcement, and that was when he was talking to me about the number, the 113, and I said to him, well, what happens if somebody from a terrorist area calls you, for example? And he said, look, quite simply, he said, if somebody calls us and they are in need, we respond to that need. He said, I don't see who's calling me from the number on the phone. That's the big difference. While the White Helmets are claiming to be impartial saviors of all humanity, in reality, they don't have a number that all humanity can call them on, one. Two, they are embedded in Nusra Front and ISIS-dominated areas. Mm-hmm. And every piece of footage that we see them in, they're fundamentally, there was a Channel 4 video shown a few days ago, where they are actually alongside Nor al-Din Zinki, which everybody should know as being the organization, terrorist organization that beheaded the 12-year-old Palestinian boy, Abdullah Issa. And here are the White Helmets running with these terrorists, being filmed by Channel 4, who are presenting them as freedom fighters and rebels. Actually, they've removed that video now since we outed it on RT, actually.
Yeah.
And the day after, they removed it.
But in this great tech age, you being our modern-day Eye of Stone, you should get the Eye of Stone Award. Actually, you earned it more than he did. But you catch them up. And I noticed the way they deal with this, which is just to pull it down. I mean, these are really kind of hustlers. It's kind of like a man is caught fooling people on a street corner and a policeman comes walking up and then he moves a couple blocks over and opens up his show again.
Yeah, I mean, yes, that's a very good description. The sad thing is, and I think where I'm happiest about the result of the Nobel Peace Prize and the fact that they didn't win it, is that on two counts. One, I feel that it's a demonstration of the fact that truth to power is still a weapon, you know, because we saw leading up to that announcement a huge wave of reaction from the public, having been informed by so many independent media outlets of who the, you know, the White Helmets really were. And we saw an extraordinary tsunami of reaction against the propaganda that was being produced. It was actually quite inspiring to see it. And then for them not to get the Nobel Peace Prize, I think that was a huge, you know, that's a huge shout out to the elites and to the oligarchs, and, you know, to say, we have got our eye on you. We know what you're doing. We may not have the same financial power that you have. We may not have the same authoritarian power that you have, but we can still derail things. We can still, you know, expose you for what you are, because actually we have nothing to lose.
Yes.
And I think that was a very important message that came out of that week for me especially, and I think a lot of people now feel that they have that power to derail and to really put a spanner in the works for them. You know?
I think it's great. I noticed it through your work and Rick Sterling and Eva Bartlett or whatnot. Even The Guardian has also had to pull things down, and also they've had to eliminate comment because people are laughing at them. They write a story with a straight face and everybody laughs.
Yeah, and the censorship that was going on. You know, if you looked at The Guardian article on the White Helmets, again, one day before the Nobel Peace Prize announcement, virtually 70% of the comments were censored, i.e. removed, apparently violating community standards. We had our own, the Syria Solidarity Movement petition was removed. We had videos removed from YouTube that were considered of the, you know, of the White Helmet attending executions. They were removed suddenly, all leading up to the Nobel Peace Prize. And, you know, the headline in the London Telegraph was threatening. I mean, that was basically saying, if the White Helmets don't win the Nobel Peace Prize, then you're endorsing Putin's war in Syria. I mean, it's extraordinary. You know, the level. And then after they lost the Nobel Peace Prize, this is a humanitarian NGO. Immediately, we see a campaign for the public to give them $1 million to make up for them losing the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, this is kind of extraordinary.
The consolation.
I mean, this is fraud. Nothing more than fraud.
Well, you've made them such an easy target. If I was working on their side, I would just pull that whole operation down as trying to create something else. Way, you know, the analogy comes in my mind is centuries ago, the British government, when it was operating in the Caribbean elsewhere, they used people called pirates. And the pirates did their dirty work, and the White Helmets remind me of them. I want to ask you about this latest news. You've helped out also in your latest article. You say they're in East Aleppo, and I notice, as you know, when the Western media says it's always Aleppo now, but in the area where the terrorists have been finally surrounded, you say there are 22 brigades there, and there is quite a bit of arguing going on. The Americans and others are trying to play with numbers. Can you tell me what the significance of this numbers argument is?
Which numbers argument? What, the number of people?
A number of fighters, actually. I guess, and civilian population. And of course, we could always do hospitals since nobody has a number. There's always the last hospital.
We do actually have a number, but it doesn't correlate whatsoever with the Western media. According to the Western media, I think Aleppo is made up entirely of hospitals, actually. No, I mean, in East Aleppo, basically, you have a situation where I think the latest from Murad Gazdiev, who's the RT reporter who's there right now, and in fact, he interviewed the real Syria civil defense inside Aleppo, which I was so happy about that. And again, that's another point. The one thing that I am overjoyed about is now the real Syria civil defense are vindicated and they are visible. People are now starting to recognize them. They're now getting emails thanking them. So that for me, thank you to your listening public. Thank you to everyone that is doing that, because those guys deserve it. They are the real heroes. They are the ones that are going into both government and terrorist-held territory to really carry out humanitarian.
And they
work.
Don't have Qatari money, and they don't have.
And they're under sanctions.
Nice gear and all that.
You know, they're being crippled by the sanctions. And again, this whole process of eradicating target nation state institutions, mm-hmm. and then replacing them with NATO state constructs. And that's exactly what is happening here. Mm-hmm. The real Syria civil defense is being crippled by sanctions, while the white helmets are being, you know, multi-million funded, supplied and equipped via Turkey, by the EU. So they're not suffering under any sanctions. And yet they're telling the public they need to raise money for defibrillators and for all this equipment. And, mm-hmm. you know, the first thing that the public should be saying, every single, you know, Canadians, Americans, British, Europeans, they should be asking their governments for accountability for these multi-million dollar donations to this organization. Where is it all going? Mm-hmm. You know, an organization of 3,000 employees, which is an NGO, which are just humanitarian workers who claim that they're only paid a stipend and they need to do other jobs to make it up. Where is this, conservatively speaking, $100 million going? And why are people not asking for mm-hmm. accountability? You know, even if they believe in the white helmet myth, why are they not asking where that money is going? Mm-hmm. Because I would be.
Yes.
That's a huge amount of taxpayers' money that's being siphoned into what, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that is a very important question.
Yeah. Well,
coming back very quickly, sorry.
Go ahead. No, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Just coming back very quickly to East Aleppo. I mean, we spoke to a young man, Pierre Lecourf, who's actually a French national. He's working as a volunteer right on the border of East and West Aleppo. And basically what he told us last night on 21st Century Wire is, look, you know, pretty much all that is left in East Aleppo is now a Nusra Front, Al-Qaeda in Syria. They've tried to change their name, but, you know, we're pretty much ignoring that because the leadership and the ideology is exactly the same. It's extremist, it's elitist, and it's barbaric.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority, he said, basically East Aleppo now is all black flags. It's all Nusra flags.
Mm-hmm.
And the few civilians that are there, many of them are being held as hostage. Many of them are being used as human shields, and that's been the case really since the 4 years of occupation began. And the numbers are very difficult. When we were in, when Ava and I were in Aleppo in August, we were being told by the Aleppo media, Aleppo Medical Association, that there were probably around 200,000 people in East Aleppo. And of that, probably 50,000 plus were terrorists and their families. I've heard different figures since then, and it's very difficult to get precise figures, to be quite honest, and particularly because as the Syrian Arab Army is advancing on the ground, it's providing, from what I understand, humanitarian corridors to enable people, civilians, to get out of East Aleppo as they liberate areas. They're then allowing those people to get into, and we've seen footage of them escaping into West Aleppo under fire with the Syrian Arab Army protecting them and shielding them. Mm-hmm. So I think what seems to be happening is as the Syrian Arab Army is advancing, it's pushing the terrorists further towards the northeast. But at the same time as it's liberating, it's helping those civilians to get into West Aleppo.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is good news and good progress.
Mm-hmm.
Vanessa Bailey, we're very grateful that you talked to us. We look forward to more of your reporting. It's 21st Century Wire. It is a terrific job you're doing. And thanks again.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me on.
Sure thing.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye.
Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM.